This podcast replay is brought to you by HialeahParkCasino.com, your entertainment destination. Casino, poker, dining, and simulcast racing so you can wager on some of the best tracks in the country. Go to HialeahParkCasino.com to sign up for promotions, giveaways, and events.
All right, all right, all right. Yeah. Okay. Welcome back. Yes. Let's see. Wouldn't it be something if we traded back and still got Verse? Nah, yeah, that would be awesome, Steven, but that's not going to happen. I mean, maybe, you know what, dude? I could be 1,000% wrong, Steven, but I think Jared Verse, I don't even know how he gets to 21, but I don't know how he gets past 21 either. Okay? He should be gone before that. I want Latu. But I'm not picking Verse only because I don't think he's going to be there. But I would rather have Verse than Latu. Let's be, if everything is even, okay, you tell me at 21, oh, you got a chance of Verse or Latu. I only pick Latu because I really like him and I think it's more realistic. Because of the injury history, I think he can drift. But I don't see Tokyo drift on Jared Verse. I just don't. I don't see it, man. I think he's a freaking stud. And again, maybe he sucks at this level, and I'm completely wrong. But I'm a huge Jared Verse guy. Byron Murphy also, man. That's a very interesting one too, Ray Sosa. It's another interesting one. That's why I'm telling you that this pick has worked out for the Dolphins, man. This has worked out. They're going to get themselves a really good player, I think, overall. All the Sullys and Murphs are shitting bricks in Boston today. Yeah, they are. They are. They got. They're. You know. It's. See, here's the what happened last night, is something that is kind of already etched in stone. And that's, the Heat are a tougher organization than the Celtics. That's all. It's just bred differently. You know, there's a level of toughness that comes with being a Heat team that just doesn't come with other organizations. There's a reason why there are players that don't want to play in this organization. And do you know why? It's not because it's a bad organization. It's not because they're incompetent. It's not because they're led by somebody that's racist or, you know, whatever other issues that other franchises have. It's only one thing. It's always one thing. It's always been one thing. Oh, shit, they put you to work at that place. You're gonna work hard. You're gonna practice. You're gonna study, and if you don't, you're not gonna last long. And that's always the excuse. That's always, oh no, yeah, they're gonna wear you out. This, that, you know, that's another definition for, yeah, no, I don't want to go and work hard. And then there are the players, right? The ones with character. I'd say, no, that's where I want to go because I work hard and I want to make sure everybody around me, because they go to other teams and they want to work hard, but then you got a bunch of slapdicks that you're playing with you. It's always that one problem with the Heat, and it's not their problem. It's their problem.
It's also the work hard and see results. It's not just get driven into the dirt.
Right.
Thibodeau.
Right, exactly. Yeah. No, but you also end up becoming a better professional. You're right about that. The results are there, dude. No agent could ever deny it. So when an agent has a client, he says, "Hey man, I can guarantee you this. You go there, you're going to be a better player." And that may lead you to a bigger contract actually. Here's the examples. Ba 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 ba. But every guy goes there, they go get a bigger contract somewhere else. So if you're willing to work, you'll get something out of it. And there's a toughness that comes with the Heat. It doesn't exist with Boston. It does not exist with Boston. And please, this isn't the old big three that they just had. And it certainly isn't the 80s. Those guys didn't take shit from anybody, bro. Okay? You weren't going to push Bird and Parrish and McHale around. No. Get ready to get in a fight. You were going to get into a fight if you tried to get in. If you tried to get smart with those guys, you were going to get into a fight. Okay? And I'm going to give Garnett and Ray Allen and those guys, they had a level of toughness to that team too. These guys aren't tough. This is a finesse team. This is a team that can be punched in the mouth, you know. And Boston has the superior talent, right? Miami has the grit, has the determination, has the better coaching. Okay, so I don't think Mazzulla is going to be the difference in the next game. It's going to be about their talent overtaking Miami's talent and figuring it out. That's kind of the way it's going to go if it happens, obviously. And it should, because they are better. But when it comes to toughness, that's going to land on the Miami side every single time between these two franchises. Because this current iteration of the Boston Celtics, I would not consider them a mentally tough team, a physically tough team. And by the way, they constantly prove that every year because they continue to fold in key situations. And yesterday they just gave away home court advantage. Not that they can't get it back easily and all that stuff and everything. And I don't expect the Heat to win. I you know, Boston's talent should take over, but they better find a little toughness somewhere. Because you just gave life to the other team. Very dangerous. This is very dangerous what Boston did. Okay, even though I still think Boston should win, they did something very dangerous. You know, there's a scene, Gene Hackman, The Replacements, right? And he tells his team, you know, they underestimated you, because what they don't know about you is there is no tomorrow. And that is a dangerous team. Nobody wants to play a team that has no tomorrow. And so go out there and leave it. And if you're the Heat, that's what you're considered, the team that has no tomorrow. Nobody takes you serious. Vegas said you're a 14.5 point underdog. No, they didn't. They like, you had no shot. You have no tomorrow. And that's exactly what's going on right now. And they're a dangerous team. And the last thing you want to do to a team that has no tomorrow is to give them a little bit of hope. Because then they take that and then they run with it. So we'll see if the Heat is capable of doing it, see if they're capable of playing the way they're played last night on a consistent basis. You know, but at least they got life now. At least they can look in the mirror and say, you see, game one is bullshit. We can overcome it with game two. And Spo was stoic as always and was not acting surprised, did not act like he was happy to be there, did not act like, oh my God, we shocked the world. No, nothing. It's business as usual. Well, like somebody asked me yesterday, what do you think, Spo? I said, Spo's thinking about the next game already. He's moved on. This game don't mean shit to him. He's not impressed. That's Spo. You know what's impressive to him? To get to work on the next game. Okay, all right, what are we anticipating they're going to do? That's Spo. He wants to get back to the chess match. He is special, man. I can't say enough about Spo. I mean, I just can't. By the way, last night, We got to do it, man. I don't know if I've given him one all year long, but we got to find our MVP of the night, and we got the Cutter's Edge billboard out there. You know, you got to expect excellence. Well, last night, this gentleman provided some excellence, and he's our Cutter's Edge Pro MVP of the night.
Who's last night's MVP? For your complete landscape solutions anywhere in South Florida, there's only one MVP, CuttersEdgePro.com. Here's our CuttersEdgePro.com MVP of the night.
All right, all right, all right. Let's give it to Tyler Hero, man. We got to give Tyler Hero the MVP of the night. 24 points, 14 assists, 5 rebounds. And it was a dagger night last night. He shot 6 of 11 daggers. Caleb Martin shot 5 of 6 daggers. Jaime Jaquez shot 3 of 6 daggers. Jovich fired 3 of 4 daggers. Highsmith, 3 of 5 daggers. Last night, the daggers were flying, dude. Okay? I mean, the knives were out, and it was going all over the place, led by Tyler Hero, who definitely set the tone last night with his scoring and his assists. And you don't have those kind of numbers if people aren't hitting daggers. And last night was a team win. Great defense overall, great scheming by Spo, and big buckets by everybody. But Tyler Hero, who doesn't get a lot of love on this show, deservingly so, got to give him some love for last night. He played exceptional last night. So I'm going to give Tyler Hero our Cutter's Edge Pro MVP of the night.
The MVP of the night is brought to you by CuttersEdgePro.com. Servicing HOAs, condominiums, townhomes, commercial properties, corporate parks, and malls throughout South Florida. CuttersEdgePro.com, providing South Florida MVP performance every day of the year.
All right, all right, all right. There we are, ready to go. By the way, Bitcoin moving a little bit right now. It is up about 1%. It's at 64,610. It's been kind of flirting with the 64.6, 64.8. So it's still kind of, it's kind of been in the same window for, I don't know, like a month or 2 months now, something like that. So it's been consolidating solidly somewhere between 62 and 70, pretty much. It's been in that window, you know, overall. So it'll pop soon. It'll pop soon. Just not a financial advisor, but keep picking up as much Bitcoin as you can, because there ain't going to be a lot left. I wouldn't mind a trade down with Detroit, our 21 for their 29 plus 61.73. If we can still grab Barton, maybe. Barton. You could get there. You never know. It's a strange thing, dude. We just, you know, we don't know how it's really going to play out. That's the interesting part. So, Bam closing in the fourth quarter was awesome. Everybody, man. Cidola, everybody. Bam played well. He was really efficient. He shot 9 of 13. He hit 21 points, 10 rebounds. It was all, you know, it was good. It was all part of the flow of the offense. There was just so much flow in the offense. Spo had the flow. That's what it was. It was about Spo and the flow. And it was just, they moved the ball well. They got open shots for people, and then they hit them. And you can't beat that shit, dude. It's 420, by the way, folks. Spark it up. We're here at Hialeah Park, by the way, and we're in the second floor poker room like we always are. And we also want to remind you, we have our $100 no regret first bet. So you want to open an account, you open it through the Hialeah Park website. It is partnered with Hard Rock, but you go through the Hylia website, do not use the same email or phone number that you would use for Hard Rock. Okay, use a completely different one so you can then open a new account and get your $100 no regret first bet. Okay? So make sure you take advantage. There's a QR code. And if you're listening on audio, go to the HialeahParkCasino.com website and you can do it right through there. Okay? Close to a perfect game last night by the Heat. Everyone contributed, played great defense. I think the Cutter's Edge Pro MVP should be given to the entire team, including Spo. You're right. I can't argue with that, but I wanted to give Tyler some love, dude. You know, he played well last night, and he needed to play well. He doesn't do enough of this, and this is something you need to see from him. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to kind of single out, even though I didn't necessarily just single out, you know, Tyler. I did point out that daggers were falling from everybody. So you know, that's where I it's not like I only gave him credit. I gave everybody else, but I had to give Tyler a little extra love because he deserves it, man. Okay? He doesn't do enough of it. So I want to give him a moment. You know what I'm saying? Ocala Joe says, good afternoon, Orlando and Sean. Not a financial advisor, just delivering truth bombs every day. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. What happened? What do you got? Okay. You're getting something? Okay. All right. Let's see. Air biscuits nonstop. We all float them. Some of them are floating air biscuits in court, apparently. Panthers might miss Bennett. He's quite an instigator and plays well with Tkachuk. Yeah, but they're deep. They can overcome it. Oh, no Lomberg, no Bennett today. But you got a chance to overcome the loss of Bennett. You have enough stars, dude. With Verhaeghe, with Tkachuk, with Tarasenko, with Barkov, Reinhardt, you know. What's it called? Listerine. It's a good player. Lundell. Verhaeghe. Verhaeghe's a clutch son of a bitch, dude. Jesus Christ. So, all right. So let's, True Finfin, thank you for the love on the super chat. He says, how's Pops doing in San Antonio? Who's better now? Yeah. I mean, you know. But he got the number one pick, so he got lucky again with that. But still, their team sucks. Spo's the best coach in the NBA, and it's not even close, dude. It's not even close. He proves it all the time. The man, the myth, the legend is ready to join us. Steve Calabro. Yes, sir. How you feeling, baby?
Big O, what's going on? I have something for you.
You have the Bowers feeling?
Well, I'm hoping.
Okay.
I'm so hoping, but
reality has kind of hit
the
you a little
Colts
bit more.
And the Colts and the Jets might. If it's the Jets, it's gonna really, really hurt.
Yeah,
it's gonna hurt bad. You know what I mean? But I mean the Colts. We don't really see them.
Not anymore.
No,
remember?
For years we did.
We had them in the division.
Yeah, but you know, if it's the Jets and the Jets got number 10, and the Colts have number 15, right?
Yeah,
that. You know, that's going to be horrible because now I'm going to have to go to the games and I'm going to have to see this guy get 9 catches for 142 yards and it will be horrible. So I'm just hoping it's not the Jets, although he could be a starter on day one.
Whoever he goes to.
Especially in the New York Jets.
It doesn't matter where he goes. Unless he's playing behind Kittle and
yeah, well, he's
or
not gonna,
Kelsey or, you
he's
know,
not going there, right?
You know what I mean? And even that, though, like, no, we're going to start 2 tight ends.
Yeah, they'll somehow work him into the offense.
Yeah, they'll work him in. You don't draft Brock Bowers to not, like, start him right away.
2 years, this guy's a little bit of a beast.
No, he's a complete beast.
I'm still approaching it with guarded optimism. Maybe okay. The Jets, you know, look, the Jets ownership has done some pretty bonehead things in the past.
Consistent.
They hired Adam Gase, you know what I mean? And then they did that press conference, which became famous for, you know, bizarro world, right? So let's hope, you know, and the Jet fans, I feel for the Jet fans. The ownership has let them down at a level that, you know, in the last 10 years.
If they weren't so annoying, I'd kind of feel sorry for them.
But the Jet organization has completely, like, made bumblehead moves.
Oh, yeah, no.
One after another.
For sure.
So it will hurt if Brock ends up there. If he goes to the Colts,
whatever.
I mean, Aaron, the quarterback, Richardson, I think it hurts Brock. If he goes to the Colts.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, you're going to have a guy that was like an okay quarterback in college.
Right. Well, although the running back and the tight end is higher percentage passes for the
those kind of quarterbacks.
So it makes their lives easier by bringing Brock Bowers in there.
Yeah, but Richardson, you know, look, I'm a Gator guy. You're right. I'm all about the Gators.
You just reminded me because I remember just going to the Orange Bowl as a kid and seeing Burt Jones and then –
Burt Jones from the Colts. I love him.
And then Landry was after, right?
Greg
Landry.
Greg Landry. Wow.
Greg Landry was the quarterback right after Burt Jones.
Burt Jones was good, though.
Burt Jones
had an arm.
Yeah, he was injury prone, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he had a so-so
career. But he was actually a half-decent quarterback.
Listen,
it's kind of like that was the days of, you know, the early Bills with what was the quarterback that they had there with Joe Cribbs, the running back, and Ferguson, right? Was it Joe Ferguson was the quarterback?
For the Bills?
Right? Was it Joe Ferguson, I want to say?
In the 70s, I could care less about the Bills.
Like, just because I'm remembering my Orange Bowl days.
That was the division. That was the division.
That was the division. Yeah, so I'm remembering it was Jerry Butler was the... Joe Ferguson was the quarterback. Jerry Butler was the receiver. And Joe Cribbs was one of the running backs that they had in those days.
You're going back. You're going back. You're digging.
Grogan was the quarterback for New England.
Grogan, yeah, that I know. Yeah, Grogan, I remember vaguely.
Rick Upchurch was the number one wide receiver for New England.
Rick Upchurch. That's a...
I got a memory like it, a that,
that
fucking
even,
elephant.
That doesn't... Listen... I'm going to change the direction.
I can remember it. I don't know why.
I have no idea.
I don't know why
Upchurch.
That's
useless data in your brain.
It is.
Which is good.
There's so much.
We got to have a lot of useless data. You got to have a lot of useless data in there.
I have so much useless information.
Well, sometimes the useless data becomes useful.
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes.
Listen, I've been doing some spring cleaning. I'm at the house, and I got like closets full of crap, you know?
Okay.
And, you know, I'm throwing away bags of stuff the last week. And I found two things. So I'm just going to give these. Now, you could throw these away.
Okay.
They were, like, sitting in my closet probably for years. And I said, yeah. Last week, I'm talking to Big O. And he said he likes this thing. This thing is stupid and useless. But this year, somehow I went and I got a free shirt. Okay. I need this shirt like I need a hole in my head. But okay. You might wear this T-shirt. Maybe you'll wear it to paint your house. I don't know. But crypto.com.
Oh, shit.
Crypto.com.
Where did you get that?
I have no idea. It was in my closet. I'm throwing away shit.
Extra
in my
large, too. That should be a large. That's my new size.
Well, it should be a large pretty soon, the way you're going here. But, yeah. You know, I'm like, crypto.com. I have no idea why I have this.
Yeah, no.
And I said, you know.
You know, probably they probably said, listen, you're going to be friends with O, and he's a big
nice
crypto
shirt,
guy.
Right?
So you're gonna end up giving it to him in the end. So there we go.
Crypto.com.
Yeah, dude.
Anything on the back or just only the front? Only the front. Okay.
Just now,
this was something that I said I just couldn't throw away.
I love this.
Maybe you can find a place to this little thing here. Maybe you could put this on your like. It's the old school Dolphins button.
Oh.
We talked about it last week.
That is.
And I was gonna throw it away. Oh. You know, box I had.
You never do that.
And I said, you know what? No. It's got the old school Dolphin with the little helmet with the M there. You know,
this.
I said, maybe you put on the shirt, you know. So my spring cleaning is it's not done. So maybe I'll find something else next week. I don't know. But think about that, Big O.
Well, my breastises are smaller, so it's harder. It's less chances that I'm going to stab it. So that's a good thing. That's a positive right there.
That's a good thing.
So it's a positive.
Well, so think about that, Big O. I see crypto.com, and who do I think of? The Big O.
Thank you.
Right? I mean, come on. I see the old school Dolphins logo. Now I'm going to think of you all the time with the old school. Although I have a couple of nice shirts and T-shirts that I don't every once in a while. Like, I like to, when I go to New Jersey, to bring up New Jersey, it's funny that I would bring that up. But when I go to New Jersey, I tend to bring the old school logo.
Of course.
You know, I think the people in New Jersey are a little more traditional.
Your logo sucks.
You know, but I'm just saying that down here I wear the new logo. It's got a little brighter and all, but it's okay. But the old school logo, I land in New Jersey. I'm in Atlantic City. I got that little old school logo going
because
on.
Because that logo is pride.
People.
Logo is winning. That logo is Shula.
Undefeated.
Right.
You know, I had lunch with on Tuesday.
What? Who?
Just a cool guy. Just a really cool guy. I want to tell your viewers and listeners, Larry Little.
Oh yeah.
Classy. Yeah. Classy individual. Looks really good healthy wise. You know, his health is good, and we Hylia Park are the sponsors of his foundation. We're going to have the event here again December 6th and 7th.
We'll be here again for
it. You got to go. You're going to enjoy it like you always have. The 6th is the event the night before.
Right.
You know, where we have the players and the silent auction. You know, last year, I won the silent auction for a 1972 Dolphins jersey autographed by a decent number of the undefeated team members, like about 35 or 40 autographs on it.
Nice.
Wasn't cheap. It wasn't an inexpensive silent auction, I can tell you that. And it's, you know what the problem is? I bring it home, and I think my wife's going to go a little upset. What'd you pay for? Holy mackerel. Nah, she was okay. She's a big Dolphin fan. But it's too big. It's like this giant jersey. Like it's framed. It's like as big as your backdrop thing. It's gigantic. What room? I don't have a room that I've ever owned in my house that I can fit this on a wall. You know, it's like so big. But anyhow, Larry Little. Back to Larry Little.
Yes.
Classy guy. We're going to have the foundation. You know, your viewers out there, he's got a great foundation for the kids in Miami-Dade County. They gives away like 40 scholarships. Very cool. 6th will be the event here at Hylia Park. There'll be at least 20 or 30 ex-players. And then the 7th is the golf, and real good time. So I just wanted to let your viewers know and remind you that it's always the first weekend of December, and this year it happens to be on the 6th and the 7th.
Okay, all right.
6th and the 7th, and we'll have some fun with that.
I'm looking forward to it. We made picks already. I got a lineman. I got Latu. That's who I got.
The guy from UCLA.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, I guess. Oh, look, the O line is the thing.
Terror.
He is, but the O line is a need,
and a huge need. And I don't mind if they take the O line.
I guess they're gonna have to. And there's two or three options. I don't like the guy from Duke. He's good, but
Graham Barton.
Yeah.
Oh, I like him. He can move around, bro.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like him.
And my buddy,
I like him because see what I think you're gonna do, and I've told people if you get the tackle, you're probably getting a right tackle. And so what you'll do is he'll play guard this year, and then next year they'll kick him to right tackle, and Austin goes to left. And then Chris Greer is paying his left tackle $12 million, and he's paying his right tackle a rookie contract for 3 more years. And so that's how you manage your money. And Austin is more than athletic enough to play left tackle. God, he was blocking downfield 30, 40 yards in one play last year.
What about the guy from Georgia? Mims.
Yeah, Mims is all. I don't have a problem with drafting him, too.
Now, look, I got to get back to Graham Barton, the guy from Duke, right? So I have to hold – I shouldn't have said that because I need to
– Why, because he's from Jersey?
No, maybe he is. If that's the case, then no, but I have a buddy from New Jersey.
There he goes.
Okay.
Connection.
Who played at Duke. Who played at Duke on the defensive line, and I got to talk to him before. He'll know the whole thing about Graham, and he's not a Duke homer. Like, he's not gonna say just because he's from Duke, you gotta. So I should have just reserved my opinion about
Graham?
Yeah, Graham Barton, before I said that.
I got to talk
to my guy from New Jersey.
I have no problem if the Dolphins draft him. None.
I stand corrected. I got to talk to my guy because my guy will give me the lowdown. He knows, he's knee deep still involved in it too. And his son, he has three sons. Two of them got are D1. One got drafted by. This guy's huge. He's like 6'7". He was a defensive lineman, and his son recruited heavily and accepted Notre Dame, but now he's pulled to Notre Dame and he's going someplace else. It's a big, big controversy. Right. Goes to he's one of the superstars. He goes to a prep school in New Jersey. And he has three sons. One's too young yet, but both of his sons were recruited in freshman and sophomore year.
Wow.
I mean, they're kind of like gigantic.
Freakish.
Yeah, they're a little big and they're, they got a good pedigree.
True Finn fan, by the way. Steve Calibro seems like a cool dude. I'd like to meet him one day. Well, come on down. Come on down. True Finn fan, you've been here a couple times. So come on down, and he joins us every Thursday when we're out here. So you can meet him.
Come down. I'll tell you, I'll give you an incentive. You come down, I'll buy you a drink. Come on.
There you go. Look at that. I'll buy you a drink, True Finn fan.
Buy a drink right now. I'll buy everybody a drink. Come
there
on.
There we go. There we go.
I'm hoping I'm buying jerseys, but I don't think that's going to happen. Remember last week I said.
That's all right.
It's
all right. You know what? Whether they draft him or not, I'm still going to plan on taking you to.
What, to the restaurant that closed?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've been waiting a week to say that.
New York
I'm sorry,
Prime.
Big O.
But
I found out
that you had been to Runway 84 already.
I love Runway 84.
Yeah,
meatballs and martinis on Thursday? Come on.
When you left, I go, man, I should have mentioned Runway 84 because I go, like,
Anthony,
that's right. That's like,
on, that's like
anybody in Jersey is going to love Anthony's.
Wait,
the only place that has that atmosphere.
It's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool place.
It's the only place.
I think they could have done a little better job with the renovation. They kind of built the same thing. I don't know.
Well, their thing is not about
the building.
It's not about that. It's when you walk in, you now have been taken back into time.
Yeah.
And it's like it's done the right way.
So we go there.
You know, the serving, the service,
yeah,
the food.
The food's excellent.
No, everything. It's just the ambiance, the music, the atmosphere. It's just, dude, it's a vibe that you don't get in any restaurant in South Florida.
It's a Jersey vibe.
So, yeah,
it's a Jersey vibe.
There's no doubt. A bada bing when you walk in. It's bada a bada bing. You know?
Listen, so I want to talk. You brought up Jersey.
Did I really have to?
I will expand on that. I was in New Jersey. I haven't been there in 4 months. I was here there this weekend.
You must have been jonesing.
No, I hadn't been there in 4 months.
4 months, it's, jonesing for Jersey.
It's my stepson and stepdaughter's birthday, so we went up there. And we had a nice little birthday celebration. We went to one of the coolest restaurants in all of Atlantic City. This restaurant opened in 1921. If you're ever in Atlantic City.
What's the name of it?
Chef Vola, V-O-L-A. It's an old, it opened in 1921. For the first 20 years when I was in Atlantic City, from like 1980 to like 2000, the restaurant had an unlisted phone number. That's how cool this place is. I mean, the food is spectacular.
Okay.
Well, like, not even close.
If it's been open since the 20s.
It's just unbelievable.
Of the last century.
It's a house.
By the way.
Of the last century. Yeah.
You can't just say 20s. And you're we're in the 20s now,
1921
bro.
It opened. It is a house. Like the house next door is like people live there. And, it's like two or three doors from the boardwalk. It, like if you drive by it. I was talking to my poker manager, Angelo. He said, you know what? My girlfriend, who he eventually married, his wife, used to live like three doors down there. I didn't even know it was a restaurant. There's no sign on there. It doesn't say Chef Vola on the front door. It's just Chef Vola. You know it. And when you call now to this day, they're like, okay, we'll see if we can work you in. We'll call you back for a reservation. And you got to call 4 weeks in advance. Food is spectacular. And, it's a house. So you can either sit on the porch. It's a porch that you would have a rocker and, if you lived in the house. There's a living room. There's a dining room, and then there's the basement. That's it. And this is how they've been cooking. They did renovate the kitchen in the 70s. In the 70s, that was it. So if you're ever in Atlantic City, you must go to Chef Ola. I had a dish that was unbelievable.
Okay.
I had a dish that was unbelievable.
I'll check it out.
So I just want to let you know that.
All right. All right, so.
They think I work for Chef Ola instead of Hialeah Park. Hey, you gotta come out to Hialeah Park. You know, we got some high hands going on. We got great poker action. We got.
So let me ask you something. Have you decided yet? Is it a car? Is it a boat?
Huge controversy. Huge controversy. Well, no.
What did Pat in Asheville come up with? Not a car,
a boat.
But
a motor or some. The thing, the combo of a boat and a car.
Yeah. How did he?
Yeah.
Pat, what the hell did you come up with?
Know, it was pretty creative idea. It was something about a boat that goes into the water.
Yeah, no, it was a boat or a car that goes water. He had a mixed name for it, which was actually really smart.
Yeah, we're
well, Pat is actually a pretty smart guy, unlike yours truly. I'm not very smart. But I forgot what it was called. But whatever it was.
We're in major internal argument going on right now. So we'll come next week. We'll have that.
Okay.
You know, I don't like to push things around, but it has to come to us. And we're arguing over boat. We'll have it next week.
Okay.
We'll have it next week. But at any rate, I should have mentioned, come out to Hialeah Park, not Chef Ola. I don't work for Chef Ola.
Yeah, no, we just right before you came on, we were talking about obviously the no regret first bet, and we were out here
the Broat.
The Broat. That's it. Well, there's Pat and Ashley back.
Broat?
Broat.
Broat. I think Broat. He wants a boat, though. I think he's voting boat.
Pat, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's voting boat.
Well, yeah, if he wins the boat, then you give Pat a reason why to come down here, and then maybe he'll open one of his restaurants here. And then
What town's he out of?
Carolina. He's in Pat in Asheville.
Oh, okay.
Kind of gave it away there in the name.
Yeah, it's a little tricky. Yeah,
Pat in Asheville.
Yeah, well, there's only really one Asheville, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
At any rate. But the, so back to the draft. I don't know. Who do you think about? So after, let's say you go O-line, first line, first pick, 21. Number 55. What are you looking for there? Another O-line?
Oh, no. I actually like, what's it, Roke? Oroho from Clemson. I love him at D tackle.
But we have 70 tackles on the roster right now.
No, but this guy is like the guy that replaces Wilkins.
Oh, he's the long termer.
He's the long termer. Like the other guys are blue collar guys, rotational guys.
They're gonna fight it over. They're gonna fight out.
Yeah. And then you'll develop this guy next to Sealer and these other guys, and then eventually he'll take. You know, you hope he takes off if that's him or anybody else. But this kid's only been playing since he was a junior in high school. He is from Africa. He is raw, but he is supremely talented. And he is just scratching. This is the kind of guy that I think a guy like Weaver would love to work and mold. You know what I'm saying? And plus, Weaver played the same kind of position that this guy did. So I just kind of think that the Roke Oroho, whatever his name is, from Clemson, I love him in the second round, bro. I will go nuts tomorrow. If they pick him in the second round,
we've talked about this in the past, but you know, we have no third and fourth rounder, right?
Not yet. Nah. Could trade down in the first round and pick up one.
Nah, I don't think that's a good idea, though.
But it could happen. I'm just telling you, it could happen. Yeah. If there's certain linemen they like and they're drifting, and they think they can get them later in the 27, 28, 30, and it's the same lineman you would have picked at 21, you're like, okay, well, wait
a
minute.
That's a risk.
That's a risk. But,
it's a huge risk.
I know, but that's part of the risk, doggy. That's kind of part of the game.
Yeah,
People do trade down to get an extra pick, and then they take advantage, and then you might be able to get that safety that you need.
So how come nobody in the media really talks about the reason why we don't have these draft picks? I mean,
we do talk about it.
I don't know.
But one is the suspension, obviously, from the owner.
Right, the owner's.
Right,
the owner's faux pas. He almost got a pass already.
Right, yeah.
Now we're living the punishment.
Yeah,
we're living the consequences.
Yeah, but we can't do anything about it. The moron cost us a first rounder last
year. I think we should remind him.
People have reminded him. I think he went through a series, a very embarrassing series with that, where I think he kind of checked himself a little bit. That's probably why his daughter has become a little bit more part of the forefront of this than normal. So I think it's one of those things that he's kind of maybe learned his lesson. Like, I need to stop meddling, you know, because, like, I don't, as I've said for many years, Steven, you're a really nice man. You've got a, your heart is in the right place.
Yeah.
But you know nothing about football. Please let football people do football things.
Yeah.
You stay with your real estate and write checks.
Yeah.
And do the waddle and the you know, do your thing as an owner.
Enjoy owning the team, but
you're not a football guy.
And you got some good guys. You got Greer and the
really
gang.
Really good guys.
They got some very, very talented
really
people that know
guys.
How to do it, you know.
Really
and Greer knows how to manage the money side of it too pretty well.
Yeah.
He can get some bargains here and there, which you have to respect. But
Ocala Joe, by the way, says, I would be happy if we could get a good pass rusher that can start right away until Chubbs or Phillips return. That's why I want Latu. I don't mind if Verse also comes in too. And by the way, I'd be remiss if I did not mention, thank you, Ocala Joe, for making a donation. Remember, you can always make a donation through Cash App or Venmo at Cash Big O Show. That is Cash Big O Show. And Ocala Joe just made one on Cash App. Thank you. And you can always make a Bitcoin donation also on the program, which is always welcomed, a Bitcoin donation. We are at 64,852 right now.
Not bad.
Yeah, we've been in that 6270 window for like a month and a half or something like that now. But that's consolidation. That's all. That's super bullish. And we're about to pop. And it's going to pop to 90. That's the next stage.
I know.
Maybe more.
At any rate, another one of my reasons that I didn't become excessively wealthy because I didn't invest in the right things and people were telling me.
You still can do it.
Yeah, I know, but it's hard.
No, it's not.
It's hard right now.
I'm going to show you an example. I did this on purpose.
I've given up my T-shirt to you. How could I invest in it?
I have been accumulating during this dip here.
Little dip here.
And I'm going to show people now what I invested, and when it runs, how much profit there is. So even at this stage, when you look at it, you're going to go, yeah, it's still not too late. Because I know people have a hard time understanding this is going to $1 million. This will be over $1 million a coin.
So let me ask you a question. I have a question, though.
So if you got it at 64, it's more. It's like a 12X.
No, I get it. But let me ask you a question. I don't understand this. And I think you're the guy that would have the answer. So, you know, I do my little taxes. You go on TurboTax, blah, 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 right? And and this year and last year, they asked this question. And I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah.
Do you own cryptocurrency? Yeah. Why does the government want that reported on tax returns?
Because they want to tax you on it.
It seems invasive.
Because that's the people we have in charge right now. They're very invasive when it comes to financials.
Yeah, it's like, why do I have to even answer that question? I have to tell you that I have this asset in my investment portfolio?
Or my cold storage wallet, which you have no access to?
Well, yeah, but
see, you could go into anybody's bank account and find out as the government. They can't get into my cold storage wallet or his cold storage wallet or your cold storage wallet.
But you have to answer that question technically, yes.
Yeah, of course.
It kind of stinks. You know, I mean, something doesn't smell right about it. I don't like it. You know, I'm not really trusting of the gang in charge right now.
Whatever smells right about any of these gangs that are in charge,
but
by
listen,
the way.
And I understand the options are bad. Get me wrong. Don't get me wrong, right? The options are bad. But
it's terrible.
But I'm in the bank the other day. Oh, by the way, I was in the bank. Yesterday
the
morning.
Good thing is the orangutan knows nothing about crypto, but the people under him actually know. More Republicans actually understand crypto and are more crypto friendly.
So I'm in.
The Democrats that are in charge now are absolutely flat out evil.
So
flat out evil.
Yeah. So I'm in the bank yesterday. Guess what I was doing? I was cashing out a $25 I found in this spring cleaning. A $25 savings bond that was purchased for me and my mother in 1958.
Wow.
I was born in 1958. I guess it was like a week after my birthday, somebody gave my mom a $25. By the way, it hasn't earned interest since 1999. The government stopped giving it interest, right?
So how much is it worth now?
$190, $188. It was so ridiculous, right? Because I had 25 years of no interest. I found this thing in spring cleaning, right? So, and I'm in the bank, and I'm like, kind of like, you know, I'm entertaining like 10 people in the bank. And I said, listen, the guy's in charge now. I'm going to make an analogy. If the government right now that was in charge was a basketball team, you put in the sixth and seventh man because the starting five ain't winning the game.
No.
And this guy, who I don't know, he comes up to me and says, that's the greatest analogy I ever heard.
Yeah.
I'm in Truist Bank in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
I'm saying that. He goes, that's it. These guys aren't going to win the game. These starting five in that B-ball game, not winning.
No, we're screwed,
you
bro.
Know, and so put in the sixth and seventh man, and hopefully. But
Biden just talked about wanting to tax unrealized crypto gains.
Unrealized gains. There you go.
Like.
There you go.
Like.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, what? I get it, bro. You screwed up our deficit, but we're not paying for your deficit. We're not going to.
With unrealized gain tax.
Yeah, and we're not saving you either. Like, you screwed it up, not us. And, you know, like, all these people, like, our last four presidents have printed $30 trillion, bro.
It's nuts.
It's nuts.
And it's getting worse. Like, they want to spend more, too. It's a little bit crazy for the average working guy.
Dude, the IMF. You know what the IMF is? Mm-hmm. Okay, internationally, this is like the Money Federation. They scolded the U.S. 10 days ago, told them, you guys got to stop spending.
Well,
what did we do? We just passed a $100 billion.
Free college.
We're also giving everybody arms.
Yes, arms, yeah, the $100 million to pick a country, 30, 60, whatever,
Right?
We did that, and we give free college.
And we give the free college.
Why do we do free college? It's for buying a vote, right? But
and by the way, so we take Russia's money, right, and give it to Ukraine. And then you know what Russia does? They go and take J.P. Morgan's $400 million. And guess what they're going to do? Go print the $400 million and give it back to J.P. Morgan. And guess where that goes? On our deficit. You know, they won't say anything about it. But, you know, they're not going to let the banks lose $400 million. They'll let you lose $400, $4,000, but they won't let the banks, because they always save the banks by printing.
It's a bad scene right now. I mean, but I was telling everybody just
nobody follows this.
Nobody.
95% of the country that has no idea what goes on.
You're right, but then they go and they allow these people to go vote.
I know.
You know, and I try to remember in November that the starting five isn't working out. Probably time to put in the sixth and seventh man.
But look at the choices each side
I know
has.
They're problem. Always bad, and they're very bad now.
Nobody picks a person. And by the way, they just assured that the old man wins by picking the orange man, because the orange man does not ever win a popular vote. Because
not
he's
gonna
not
win a popular vote.
Yeah, because he's not likable.
No.
And so now you guaranteed us that we're stuck with the old man. All they had to do was pick any other Republican, and he or she. Because Nikki was there.
She was in for a little while.
Nikki got 130,000 votes yesterday. Or
she was in, but
she was not in a race, and she got 130,000 against Trump.
I know, but what does that tell you? That means lots of people don't want to vote.
In his own party.
In his own party.
But they end up picking him. If they would have picked anybody else, everyone else crushes Biden. Yeah. Everyone else.
I can tell you that, but it's even worse than that. Like, you know, look. Once Biden is completely not capable of doing what...
Neither one is capable.
No, but the backup is, considerably worse.
Oh, yeah, no. None of us have ever given a shit about a vice president, ever.
No, but you have to care about it when the guy...
No, I get
it. The guy's 82.
No, I get it.
He got a shot. You know, he's beat the actuaries. You know what I mean? Every day's a bonus for him right now, you know?
So, anyway, it's bad.
It's a bad scene. It's unfortunate.
Everywhere.
It's unfortunate. I hate to go into the political world, but it's a bad situation.
And I laugh at anybody that tries to defend either side, because I can just pick it all apart, bro. Like, do you follow it, or are you just being a cheerleader?
No, but what happens is...
Like, you know what I call you? I call you a party zombie.
Yeah, whatever.
That's what I call you. Like, oh, well, it's Democrats,
they could put Bozo up. They could put Bozo up there. I got to vote for him.
Voting for him. And it's like you never have, like, a strong opinion about your own party, and it's, like, it's so weak.
But this seems to be coming at a really bad time. The choices are even a little worse than normal and in presidential.
Ever.
This could be in the last...
It's the worst ever.
The last 40 years, I really don't imagine these two choices as the worst.
Ever.
But
Reagan is losing his mind, and he already lost
it. No, you know who's losing his mind?
On his way out, he already lost it. And up there, he's already losing.
No, you know who's really... Look, I'll tell you the guy that's... And it's a problem was... Talking about finances and all stuff. Powell. This guy's a political hack.
I know that.
That's the one position you're not supposed to be political in. Alan Greenspan, you know, he's 98 and still alive. He's from New Jersey. No, he isn't. Just had to throw that in there. Alan Greenspan was probably one of the greatest Federal Reserve chairmen in our lifetime. This guy's still alive. He's 98 years old. He's probably, like, scratching his head saying, what is this bozo doing?
Well, no, because the bozo's doing what Biden wants him to do, what Yellen wants him to do. What,
right, make it look
all,
good, you know.
They're all in the same. They're on cahoots.
Announce your three cuts, like, 2.5 months ago that you're going to do a cut.
Yeah.
11, who does that?
Yeah.
In the history of the Federal Reserve, no one's ever done that.
And now they're thinking about two cuts.
Maybe a little later.
And now they're thinking about raising again, down the line.
Yeah, there might have to because of the economy. So, but Jerome Powell's a problem, a big, big problem. A huge.
Gary Gensler, Jerome Powell, Yellen.
Oh, Yellen.
Warren.
Well, Warren's a pain in piece of shit. She cheated to get into Rutgers Camden. Not Rutgers University.
Totally useless. Totally useless.
You understand what Rutgers Camden is? Camden is like, so Camden is like the armpit of the world. Like, it's horrible. It's a horrible, 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 horrible place. Nobody even really cares and talks about Camden, even if you're from New Jersey. It's just a really, really bad place, right? So they have this little campus there, Rutgers Camden. Like, if you can't get into Rutgers or Rutgers North, they tell you, and they feel bad for you, they tell you, okay, you know, we'll let you go to Rutgers Camden because maybe you can survive and live there, right? She had to cheat to get into Rutgers Camden.
She's useless. She's been there for
years.
Horrible. She's never passed one bill in her life.
She's lied to get into Rutgers Camden. She should be embarrassed. But anyhow, I gotta run.
These are
because I'm getting all worked up about the politics.
Brother, we had Feinstein running our money when she had to have somebody else handle hers.
Yeah.
Think about this. Just think about that. Before Dianne Feinstein died, okay, she had somebody that had to, because she wasn't.
She couldn't manage her own.
She couldn't manage her own.
But she'll manage the country.
Well, she can manage the hell out of ours.
But I think.
Think about that.
I think it's worse with Powell because he's a hack.
No,
he's a political hack.
Well, because he's doing what the, like, when they ask him that, do you work for the government, he says no, and it's like, bro, you know, it's like, why are you lying to us, man? Like,
yeah.
What are we, stupid or something?
No, but the problem is, I say it all the time recently, yes, as a whole, there's a lot of uninformed voters.
There's a lot of stupid voters.
There's a lot of people that somehow.
Because it's boring.
It's boring
to follow all of this.
And it's nothing.
I didn't follow it nearly as heavy as I did until I got into Bitcoin. Until I had to learn about money and learn about how everything and what's going on with our government and all that. That's the reason why I'm so heavily involved now, because my money's involved.
Well, they ask the question so they can tax it.
Yeah, exactly. So now I keep up with everything. So now I know anything and everything going on, so how it's going to affect any of my investments. You know, that's just kind of the way it goes. Now, if you invest, you better
know the implications.
You better know everything going on. If you don't, if you're just going to invest and not know anything, then you're really just gambling. You're not really investing.
Yeah,
you're not really studying. You're not really going, because you must know. And it is boring as hell to keep up with
and
all
frustrating
this
and frustrating.
Know,
it's all the negative things.
But it's the only way we get ahead. For those of us that are investing, we kind of can foresee things that are happening. The average person is not going to see that stuff, unfortunately, because they don't follow it, because it's incredibly boring.
Yeah,
and so then,
and yet a big chunk of them in November are going to march right in there, and they're going to pick off the name that they. Oh, I remember that guy, and my sister who likes this person because he's good looking. I'll vote for him, you know. And
it's like my wife picking horses.
Yeah, because the colors
are
pretty.
That one looks beautiful.
Yeah, that and oh, look at the
look at the coat on that one. Yeah. Oh, that one looks excited. He's really, you know.
You're not supposed to pick
and
horses
by the way,
like that.
She ends up winning a hell of a lot more than
horse
I ever do.
Horse racing is tough. Horse racing is tough to pick.
But those are I love doing that with my wife. Just go out and pick horses. She's just picking, you know, whatever. All right, honey. And I'm going in the window, and it's like an 84-1, and I'm like, all right, well, that's what she likes, you know. And there it goes, and it wins.
Well, listen, I'm gonna leave in a minute here, but I have to tell you something. It's a little more serious. I'm gonna dial back. This is serious now. And it's just a tribute. I want to make sure it's mentioned to all your listeners and viewers. Unfortunately, this past week, we lost somebody really, really, really. Classy, nice person.
Really?
One of the owners of Atlantic City, of Hialeah Park Casino, Steve Brunetti, passed away on Monday.
Really?
And he was a horse lover and a horse great, had some super success with breeding some fantastic horses in the last couple of years. He was a classy, classy guy, fun-loving, had a smile that was infectious. He was one of the owners of the casino.
Yeah.
And just wanted, you know, condolences to the Brunetti family.
Yes.
I've talked to, you know, John, and he certainly is going through that grieving process and doing all that needs to be done. And it's a private, it's very private, but, you know, I just want you to know that he couldn't have been a classier guy and a better guy. And he would come in here, he'd come right into the poker room sometimes and smile. He'd walk around. Like, he was just like... just enjoyed life every day. And, you know, he fought cancer for 4.5 years, fought it hard.
Love some bitch.
Fought it real, real hard. Like, wow. He's going to be missed in a big way. And just want your viewers and everybody else to know and give him a little.
Well,
wherever you are, Steve-O, you're the man. We're going
to
have a.
Definitely our condolences to the Brunetti family. And obviously, Steve Brunetti, rest in peace. That's.
We're gonna have a memorial on you know, what better day than that? Not this Saturday, but next Saturday is Kentucky Derby Saturday.
Okay.
We're gonna have a memorial here for a celebration of Steve Brunetti's life, right here at the track. His ashes will be spread at the finish line. And by the way, his father's ashes are on that same finish line too.
Okay.
So it's kind of a nice heartfelt. It'll be a very nice event and. Just let your people know that.
And it just adds to how special this place is to the Brunetti family, too, by the way.
Yeah, and you know, he was 56 years old, so.
Oh, young.
That one.
Young, yeah.
That one, you hear 56, it's a little bit scary, to say the least.
I'm only a year older than he is.
Yeah, it's a sad thing. But remember, we're going to celebrate his life. This kid was just a good guy. Just a classy, classy guy, and. And, he's going to be missed.
All right. Well, you're leaving with this question from Dougie Fresh.
Okay.
Steve, what film or TV series most accurately depicts the worst of casinos?
Oh, the worst. Hmm. So I didn't really watch. So obviously the one with De Niro with the.
Oh, Casino.
Casino. That would be one. Then there's. I think I'm going to answer that a little differently. So, what was the one that was filmed with George Clooney?
The
Ocean's 11. So Ocean's filmed 11. In Trump Plaza when I was working there.
Right.
I told you the whole story right there. So that would be. I'm going to try to frame some casino pictures. So you got Casino. You got Ocean's 11. And then what else would be another casino movie? Those are the two biggies, I guess. I'm going to go between those two, right? Which one is more accurate or worse? So when he says worse, it's inaccurate or?
Yeah, exactly.
Inaccuracy,
that's what I
right?
think he means, yes.
Yeah, so I would think.
What film or TV series most accurately depicts the worst of casinos?
I would say the movie Casino was a little bit of an exaggerated. It really wasn't. I mean, you know. That's not how it is. It's just not real. You know,
right.
I mean, it played well on the theater.
Right, right.
You know, De Niro and the crazy wife, and she's on drugs, and yeah. But I, That's not real. I don't
so
think
so. De Niro, there's no De Niro's raising hell in casinos. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, I mean, years and years and years ago, Steve Wynn was around in the early years in Atlantic City, but even he wouldn't.
No,
it wouldn't happen like that.
No,
yeah, he was too classy. He's just too classy of a guy. I know he did bad thing. I get it. He got in trouble and lost the casino, but he wouldn't do it. It wouldn't be like that.
Like the public spectacle is what you're saying.
Yeah, he wouldn't do the public spectacle thing. Yeah. But
okay.
Yeah, not that I. And
the TV show Vegas wasn't really about casinos.
And I never saw it. I never saw it.
Well, I saw Dantana plenty, but it wasn't really about. It was in Vegas. And he ran through a casino a couple times, but it wasn't really about casinos. It was about a PI that worked in Vegas. So I wouldn't go with Vegas as... Now, you know what was... Brolin. Something Brolin. I think it was called Casino, maybe, or Vegas or something. There was a TV show... For several years that Charles Brolin, I want to say.
Charles Brolin was in.
Charles Brolin. How about that, baby?
If it was in the 80s and 90s, I was working.
It was probably 80s or 90s.
So I missed TV those years because I was working nights. And there wasn't streaming services back then.
Or was it called Hotel and it was in a casino? Or was it like, let me see, Charles Brolin. Let me go to his IMDb. I want to say, huh? No, not Poker Face. It might have actually been called Hotel or something like that. Can somebody help me? No, Rounders is not really... But Rounders is not really about a casino.
It's about poker. And I was working. Wait, just so you know, Rounders. I was working at Taj Mahal when they filmed Rounders.
Oh, really?
Yes. Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. I guess that was. But that not a casino movie. More of a poker movie.
Trying to find it. Why I keep thinking the name Hotel might have been the name of the show. And that had a lot of. I had a Hotel, dude, that's pretty good. It was Hotel from 83 to 88.
I was working nights. Didn't see any of it.
Yeah. So this one, I remember there was casino stuff involved in it, because if I remember correctly, they had the elegant St. Gregory Hotel in San Francisco is a setting for a string of distinct plots, usually romantic. Doesn't mention anything. Maybe I'm wrong about this one. Maybe I'm getting it confused with another one.
Well, all I could tell, what was the gentleman's name that asked the question?
It was Dougie Fresh.
Doug, all I can tell you is we're like any other business. I used to take customers back into behind my offices back in Atlantic City, and they said, hey, this looks like any other company. Looks like this could be an insurance company. I said, it could be. We have a human resource department. We have an accounting department. We have all the boring departments. It's just not as, the showgirls don't come in here and dance during lunch, just because we're a casino. There's a lot of just basic business things in every casino, particularly the ones that are, the publicly traded companies.
Right.
They're just very, they're very, very basic businesses, and it's just not as exciting as the movie industry makes it seem. Trust me. I mean, it's fun. I get it, but it's we have the same. We could be selling hot dogs instead of running the casino. To be honest with you, it's the same stuff. So,
I almost think that maybe now I'm starting to think that maybe it was James Caan that was in that TV show, Las Vegas, TV series. 2003 to 2008. Welcome to the Monticello Resort Casino in Las Vegas, where you can do anything you want, but Ed Dilene and his crack surveillance team will be watching you. Just remember, this is the one that I was thinking. It wasn't Brolin. It was
James
Caan in Las Vegas. That's the one that I was thinking.
Something tells me that was.
There's a lot of shit in here,
I've
bro.
I've never seen
There's
that.
There's a lot of shit in here.
I've never seen that show, so I shouldn't. It's just going to be unfair, but I'm sure it didn't depict the reality. It just did a bad job.
Now you're now if you get a chance,
I'll have to watch a couple episodes.
Yeah, watch a couple episodes. That's it. That's the one that I was thinking of.
And you'll tell your fans to come on out to Hialeah Park. Yes. We will have a car to give away or a boat to give away at some point in time once we solve our internal argument.
Or a broat.
And let's see what happens next. Let's see what happens tonight. Will our pick go tonight?
Oh yeah. Of course, first round. Only first round tonight. Well,
first round, yeah. First
and
32.
Tomorrow night is second and third.
Yeah, so we'll know
tomorrow
tonight.
if we make a trade tonight, we might have an extra pick tomorrow. If we don't make a trade, then we only have one pick tomorrow.
So I might have to come tomorrow with the jerseys if Brock goes.
Yeah. You won't have to come. You won't have to come tomorrow because we won't be here.
We'll be next Thursday.
At Acura.
Giving away that beautiful car. Yeah,
yes.
It's beautiful.
So, or the Broat.
The Broat.
Because
listen,
you might convert an Acura car into a boat.
I'm gonna get a little religious here. I'm gonna say a prayer. Please, Brock Bauer cannot go to the Jets. That would be like bad.
Well, it would be bad for him, period. Because just going to the Jets is a curse in itself.
It would just be bad.
It's a curse in itself.
Just go to the Colts, please, and maybe you can help that University of Florida quarterback out that needs a little help anyhow. Or maybe you fall right to 21.
Yeah.
And we pick the best athlete.
Maybe.
The best available.
Maybe.
All righty, man.
Baby. Appreciate
Take
you.
Take care.
You got it.
Bye-bye.
Steve Calabro. Of course, we thank my man Sean Stanley, as always, mastering the entire platform. We thank everybody for making it nice and easy for us to broadcast out here. Always every Thursday out here at the second floor poker room. Remember, we got your $100 no regret first bet right there. Use our QR code and you can get the $100 no regret first bet. Appreciate all of you tuning in. Those of you that sent in a super chat, remember you can make a donation anytime you're watching the show, day or night, Cash App or Venmo at Cash Big O Show. That is Cash Big O Show. And you can also send in your questions and comments and all kinds of good stuff. Bitcoin pushing up almost to 65,000, 64,975. Look at that. Trying to push to 65. We'll see what happens. We'll see you tomorrow morning live from Acura of Pembroke Pines. And we'll see you tonight. We'll be on right before the pick. Y'all be good out there.